I started a series of messages for the rest of July and August that are topical messages. We finished reading Revelations this morning in our read through the Bible, and I'm asking the Lord to give me one of the Gospels. And in September, we'll start a line-by-line study of one of the Gospels. I'm not exactly sure which one it is. But today we're going to talk about the actions of a disciple. And it's July 1st of 2012, being a disciple of Jesus. And the main text is from Luke 9, 23 through 26. So being a disciple of Jesus, I hope to answer three questions. Who is a disciple? What does it cost to be a disciple? And what does it mean to be a disciple? So who is a disciple? Is everyone that goes to church a disciple of Jesus? Does just showing up at church make you a disciple? Is that the way it works? If you're just one of the ones that follow Jesus around and were kind of interested in what he was doing and hung out for snacks after church when he would feed 5,000 and you were excited about him, did that make you a disciple, or did it take more? This is what I got from Greg Ogden's book. It says, a disciple is one who responds in faith, obedience, and gracious call of Jesus Christ. So when you look at that statement, what would you choose as the most significant words in that statement? A disciple is one who responds in faith and obedience to the gracious call to follow Jesus Christ. Here's what I picked out. A, on your outline, the first blank is one. It's just one person. Being a disciple of Jesus is not about being a group gig. It's about you, personally. One person involved with one Lord and Savior in a dynamic way. So it's not just being a part of a group or a Bible study. It's you, as an individual, personally relating with God. B on your outline, a disciple responds, is your blank. Responds in faith and obedience. It takes an action of response to God. You can't be a passive, bump on the log believer and be a disciple. You must respond in ways. You must take the things that the Spirit leads you to do and respond to those. Not react after your flesh, but respond after the Spirit. C, a disciple hears the gracious call to follow Jesus. There is a call to follow. He issues that call to a lot of people. And in order to be a disciple, you've got to sense that call on your life that he's speaking to me, that I'm the one. Out of all the people in church today, there will be one that take this seriously. And you can be that one, but you have to hear the call and respond to it. So, in Luke 9:23, it says, and Jesus said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So, what does it cost to be a disciple? Do I want to be a disciple? Do you want to be one? I set my life apart a while ago and wanted to try to do that, wanted to try to make more of them. How about you? Do you want to be a disciple? Jesus never enticed somebody to be a disciple under false pretenses. He never did a bait and switch or a swap sales technique. He always was clear. He laid out the conditions. He laid out the benefits to be one of his followers. He put it in black and white, just like you're seeing it on the screen in front of you. He made it very clear what it takes to be a disciple. Before you go too far down the road saying, I don't know if I want to be a disciple, you better look and listen to what Jesus says next, because it's pretty important. Whoever is ashamed of my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. That's a pretty serious thing there. That how you live today, how you interact with his call on your life, if you're ashamed of him, when he comes in all that power and all that glory that we're reading in Revelations 20, 21, and 22 today, and he sits down and sits on that white throne, it's going to be a lot about how you lived. So, A on your outline, a disciple, excuse me, to be a disciple, one must deny, is your blank. Deny yourself. So what does that mean, deny myself? It's something that's very misunderstood in the world today, even in the church today. To deny myself means I don't know that person. When me wants to do something, I consciously make the decision, I don't know that person anymore. That I'm not related to that person anymore. That person has died, has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me, it says in Galatians. So, when Mark talked about this, and he quoted these sections of what Jesus said, he says, to deny is to resist, or to refuse, or to say no. It's saying no to me. So, to deny yourself means to deny your self-lordship. Any of us who are not consciously aware of how much of life we do purely and simply because that's what we want to do, with no conscious regard of who God is or what God says, that's self-lordship. So, to deny yourself is saying no to the God who is me, to reject the demands of the God who is me, to refuse to obey the claims of the God who is me. My biggest problem is me. I want it to be this way, or I don't want it to be that way. I want it to go like this, or I don't want it to go like that. Those things are all me playing God, rather than submitting and depending and following Jesus. Can you give yourself a decisive no? I don't know, Lord me. Can you do that? I do not bow down to him or her anymore. I don't do just what he wants to or she wants to without regard to what God says and what Jesus is saying and what the Holy Spirit is saying. Could you do that? Have you ever done that in your life? Said no to yourself and relied upon the Holy Spirit and the life of Jesus. Jesus calls us to say no to ourselves so that we can say yes to him. You can't say yes to both. You can't do just what you want, when you want, the way you want, anytime you want, and follow him. It doesn't work that way. So, did he demonstrate that for us when he was here? Sure he did. He would say, not my will, but your will be done, Father. That's the practical tools to getting a hold on denying yourself. It's not what I want to do. It's not my will. But it's your will, Father. It's your will, Jesus. It's your leading, Holy Spirit. That's what I'm going to follow. That's the tools to actually deny yourself. Do you think of your relationship with Jesus primarily in terms of what's in it for me or in terms of what you can do for him? There's a lot in it for you, and that's clear. If you tried to explain the difference between a man-centered gospel and a God-centered gospel, do you think you could do that? Do you think you could describe the difference between a church culture that's built on me and a church culture that's built on him? A lifestyle that's built around me or built around him? Denying yourself says you don't remember that person anymore, but once upon a time there was a guy who would bet a lot of money that 80% at least of the people in church have no idea what I'm talking about when I talk about a God-centered gospel. So much of it is all about me, what's in it for me, how I'm going to do that, all my creature comforts, what? And it's all about me that they have zero idea that the gospel is all about Jesus. It's all about God. It's not about me. It's not about me building a bigger church, a more comfortable place, a more spectacular sound system and slideshow. And it's not about you and me. It's all about him. And that is a difficult thing to get people to in today's culture. So let's move on to point B. To be a disciple, one must take up their cross daily. It's not a one-time gig. It's a daily deal that you take up your cross. So what does that mean, to take up your cross? Many people misunderstand or misapply that when they look at an enduring illness or a disability or a negative experience about their relationship. And they say, well, this is just my cross to bear. Is that misunderstanding? Yeah. That's not what the cross is talking about. People look at my life and the chronic pain that I deal with in a number of ways. They say, oh, well, that's just Wilmer's cross to bear. That has nothing to do with my cross to bear. That's just physical circumstances. My cross is totally different. Now, when Jesus lived and people saw someone walking through the streets with a crossbar of the cross and they were going to be crucified, what did that mean? It meant, there's a dead man walking here. My life is over. It's ended. It's done. I'm carrying my cross outside of town. They're going to nail me to the cross and I'm going to die. That's what it means to take up your cross daily. A dead man walking. As I said before from Galatians, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. That's what denying yourself is about. That's what carrying your cross is about. It's not enduring some jerk that you work with. It's not enduring a bad relationship or an illness. That's not carrying your cross. Carrying your cross is saying, I'm going to die to this selfish lifestyle. A public crucifixion meant I completely abandoned all of my hopes and ambitions here on earth. It's not about what I want to get done, my days, my dreams, my wants. It's about what Jesus wants. Jesus calls his followers to see themselves as already dead to all of the lusts of the flesh and the world that we live in. So, it's a hard thing to say, it's a hard thing to live, but it's a liberating way to live. Human bondage in all of its form is a result from being a god of your own life. So when you function in this way that Jesus is talking about, it really liberates and frees up your life. Freedom comes when you lay down your ill-gotten false crown, when you say no, when you live through as though the gods, can't read my own writing. I wrote it so that I would say it right. Freedom comes when you lay down your ill-gotten false crown, when you say no, when we live as though the gods who are us have already died. So, move on to see on your outline. To be a disciple, one must follow Jesus. Jesus calls us to a deeper love relationship with him. Not just meeting him in a salvation experience, but he calls you to follow him on a daily trek that would lead you into a deeper, more personal relationship with him. It's all about you and him, one-on-one. Or when he calls you, you cannot reply with anything that starts with but. There are a lot of illustrations in the Bible where Jesus would meet somebody, love them, and say, come follow me. Oh, but let me go bury my parents first. Never mind. Well, but let me go. Never mind. Meets a rich young guy. The guy says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? You got to relinquish your control of all these earthly possessions. Oh, that's too hard. But I got so much money. And he didn't follow. Don't give him a but. I actually had a lady in my office years ago when I sit in Marty's office who said, when my husband dies, then I'm going to follow Jesus fully. And I thought, oh, why not now? Why wait? Oh, when the kids grow up. But we want to follow you, but we're going to wait till the kids grow up. Then we'll give our lives fully to you. Well, but we're going to wait. There's no buts. You do it now because you don't know that you get it tomorrow. Here's literally the shoe leather that you need to understand. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It's not singing in air-conditioned comfort with paddle fans going on cushy pews. It's offering your body as a living testimony, a living tabernacle for His Spirit. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of the world anymore, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing, perfect will. There's the shoe leather. There's the tools. There's what you need to do. You need to change your mind about a lot of things to be a disciple for Jesus. And the end product, it's going to be really critical, the decisions you make. Our butterflies on the wall that we talked about is a great illustration of the transformation. That consumer caterpillar, 88888, and he's just like they describe us in our American culture. They describe you as a consumer. They're working on all these new marketing strategies, using the internet, Facebook, all of these things to get you to buy, buy, consume, 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 gather, 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 save, all those things. It's a caterpillar's life. He goes into a cocoon, is metamorphosized, comes out, and is a butterfly. That's what's supposed to happen to us. When we die to ourselves and become these living disciples, it's a different lifestyle. You fly rather than crawl. And those are the tools that you need to accomplish that. Jesus, yes, I will follow you to life now and later. Or, no, I won't. That's the choice that you make. And there are present tense and eternal consequences to the yes or no. And if you do the but, it's a no. Luke 9:24. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose, forfeit their very eternal self? D on your outline. To be a disciple, we must lose, is your blank. Lose your life for or to Jesus. How does one lose their life for Him, to Him? We invest all we have for Him in the gospel. You ante up everything there is. It's not a hedge thing. It's everything. You ante it all up. You bet it all on Him. We say to Him, here's my home. Here's my checkbook. Here's my talents, my gifts, my brain, my heart, my hands, my feet, my mouth, on and on and on. Oftentimes I'll find myself alone and I wish I had more to offer. I wish I could play a better game. You know, I'm not an all-state quarterback. I wish I had more to give. All I can give is what I have and who I am. And that's what He's asking from you. He's not asking you to just do a daily workout. He's asking you to give 100% in your daily workout. He's asking you to go beyond what is normal in church and Christianity. So, here, it's all yours. That's the shoe leather you need. All this stuff in this world that tangles all of us up, you give it to Him. It's all His anyway. So, use it all to glorify yourself and further your purpose on earth. That's what you say to Him. At the end of history, and when it's all completed, what will really matter? Your 501, your 401, your savings, your home, your how many vehicles you've got in the garage, you know, all that stuff. Is that really going to matter at the end of time? Or when He's sitting on the white throne and He goes over the Rolodex list of all the investments that He gave you, all the financial resources He gave you, all the talents, abilities, assets. And then He begins to work through His book, His ledger, and ask you, how did you resource that for me? How did you leverage that for my kingdom? That's what's going to really matter. Why does losing your life for Jesus really save it? Actually save it? Here's what he said. Very, very, verily, truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Dan and I were talking about these issues with the combine, and he was saying his wheat harvest was one of the best ever. And when you look at the golden wheat fields that we have around here this afternoon, they are spectacular. They're producing a lot of wheat. I don't know about the bean crop, but the wheat is really good this year. You put one kernel in the ground and you get enough to choke the combine. But you've got to put it in the ground. You can't leave it in the bin. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. And anyone who hates their life on earth will keep it for eternal life. So you have to lose the things that the world loves. Doesn't mean you don't get to enjoy life. Christians are able to enjoy everything. But it doesn't possess you. It doesn't captivate you. It doesn't contain you. God owns it, and I just get to use it and play with it. Whoever serves me must follow me. For where I am, my servant will be. My Father will honor him and the one who serves me. Jim Elliot summarized it this way. It was one of the things that pushed me over the edge a few years ago. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You're not stupid if you give up the things that you actually can't keep to gain something that you can't lose eternally. Being a disciple is a lifelong process. It's not a one and done. It's a lifelong process of dying to yourself while allowing Jesus Christ to come alive in us. So, what's it mean to be a disciple? A, on your outline, being a disciple is difficult. It's difficult. It's not easy to walk away from all the temptations of the world. To walk away of all the lusts and desires for comfort and pleasure. It's not easy to kill yourself every day and live to Him. How much time and effort do you invest in making your life comfortable and easier? We are sold all the time on these time-saving, work-saving events. And it's comical because people in our culture have less time to be with other humans than ever before. And a decade ago, when we didn't have all these time-saving, work-saving devices, people actually had time to sit on the front porch and visit with people. They actually had time to go to family reunions and spend the day visiting. You don't have that time anymore in our culture because you're too busy trying to maintain all the stuff that are saving you work. It says in Matthew 7:13, Jesus' words, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." Most of the people are not going to follow the heart of this message. They're going to go down the wide road to destruction that the world, the flesh, and the devil. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. You must get on your knees and enter through the narrow gate humbly. And you do that on a daily basis. You humbly enter into this narrow way of following Jesus. When Jesus cuts a path through the corn, it's only as wide as his body. It's not a great big swath. It's just enough room for you to fit. And expect it to rub on both sides as you follow him through. Be on your outline. Being a disciple is costly. Costly is your next to the last blank. It costs. How much does it cost? How much does Jesus expect me to invest? All of it. Everything. It's not a hedge thing. You ante it all up. It's 100% in or you're not in at all. C, being a disciple is rewarding. That's your last blank. Rewarding. It is very rewarding. Disciples develop a deep personal bond with their Lord. you develop a relationship now that is magnificent in the future. It's very rewarding to be a disciple when you get to do the things that disciples do, even now in people's lives. It's very rewarding. It's very enjoyable. It's a lot more enjoyable than the ways of the world. I've been on both sides of the fence. I lived that way 30 years. Now I've lived this way 31 years. It's a lot better living on the disciple side. It's a lot better. It's very rewarding. So, John 15 says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." The application wasn't in this message until this morning. There was a page that said the application is, when I read Revelations 20:12, this is really the application. "I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened. There was a book that was open. It was a book of life. To get your name written in the Lamb's book of life, you must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's the only way to get your name written into the book. All the texts that I've had that are Jesus in red letters, it's probably written in red. When you accept Him as Lord and Savior, confess your sins, and begin this process of Christianity. The dead were judged according to what they had done, according to what was recorded in the books." It's all written down. Someday there won't be time anymore. There'll be plenty of time for Him to sit on the throne and for you to respond to His questions about being His disciple or not. It's your call. You can live it either way you want to. You don't have to do this. Romans showed us how to do that. Jesus said you could be my friend. You could live in a deep, personal, loving relationship with me. Or you can love the world and all that. It's all up to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your amazing love and Your gracious kindness to be willing to be interrelated in a deep, personal relationship with us is amazing. We thank You for Your creation of us and Your willingness to relate with us. Thank You for Your call to make disciples and to be a disciple. I pray people listening to my voice on the internet or sitting in this audience would seriously say, yeah, I want to sell out to Jesus. I want to be one of His disciples. I don't want to live a nominal, non-productive kingdom life. I want to be a contributing component to the kingdom of God. And we do all of that, Lord Jesus, because of You and what You've done. We ask You to send the Holy Spirit that You promised to work in us and through us to accomplish those goals. We pray in Your name. Amen.